Well, welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a parenting podcast where we talk a lot about issues of parenting, better ways to parent, and how overall our families can just worship Christ more. My name is Tim Rose, and I'm here with my good friend, Mr. Matthew Lee Wilbanks. Sir, how are you today?
Oh, full name and all. Now everyone can figure out who I am specifically.
I should have said Leanne, because that is your middle name, but go ahead.
Yes, that's my full middle name. No, I'm doing good. Now I'm in Disciple Now weekend mode. I've got that coming up on Friday, so I've got just a few more things to work out, some, you know, a parent to meet with to get some last minute things sorted out, but looking forward to it. I'm heading over to our old stomping grounds in Cleburne to partner with all those churches there, and I'm excited to do it. But man, it's just, there's something about planning an event the week and then the week before planning the event. The week before is always some of the most stressful stuff, because you can, you know, figure, you think of all these things that might go wrong, and then when you actually get through it, it's all just like, oh, that was actually pretty painless. So, well, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, D-nows are always kind of, you know, you're worried about everything, and then you get there, and it all just kind of goes.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully, I'm definitely praying that it goes easily for you, that you'll have a great weekend, and then of course, you have students who, you know, come to knowledge and faith of Christ and develop more of those relationships for sure.
Yep.
Matt, the people do know that you're in school. How's your semester going?
Oh, dude. So the other thing happening this weekend is two midterms.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. So yep. It's gonna be interesting, you know, going to D now, and then also I've got midterms.
Yeah, stay up until 2 to take your midterms. Hope that you make the right grade on it. I've done that life. It's awesome.
Never gets old.
Out here in the glorious place of West Texas, we have done our D now. We are just in the middle of a bunch of like small church events. So I don't know. I mean, you know how this goes, Matt, but you just get like all these things that it's like every weekend you're doing something. So
yep.
We're in the middle of that in, you know, attempting to enjoy that season as much as possible. But for today's episode, I texted Matt, what, 2 days ago? Yesterday? Yesterday. And I said to him, I said, let me see here. I said, hey, for the pod, what if we start a how do you talk about series? All of that in quotations. And what was really cool was his text back to me was, I was going to suggest that. So we're of the belief that maybe the Holy Spirit had some work here and did something. We don't know. But somehow we both came to the exact same conclusion. And so we, over these next few weeks, we're just going to talk about how you as parents kind of address certain topics. Mm-hmm. You know, we've spent a lot of time recently on marriage and what marriages look like. And of course, we'll come back to that at times as well, because that is the foundation of the family. We've spent time just taking from a text and saying, here's what the text says. But now we want to look at a few topics and talk about really how you can address those topics. And, you know, I've been in youth ministry, around youth ministry, whatever, for 8 years now. That doesn't include the time I had as a student. And one of those topics that comes up time and time and time again is the topic of anxiety. It's prevalent. I can tell you that students, you know, right now, the statistics on students are absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Primarily because of things like social media and COVID. You put those two together, and we've got students who feel more distant now than ever. They feel less connected to real people, have less real friends, you know, have higher suicide rates, things like that. And one of those many contributing factors and statistics is that students have higher anxiety now. And so what we're going to do, and viewers, those who don't like the sound of my voice, you're in luck. In this series, I'm going to take a little bit of a backseat to Sir Wilbanks, our counseling professional here. And we're going to let him kind of walk through how we have these conversations. And I'm just going to chime in where, as a youth pastor, some of my experience helps me there. But we're going to kind of walk through how we have these conversations, what the kind of pathway is for us to deal with these topics, and any advice along the way. So Matthew, that all being said, would you like to begin us as we talk about how we talk about how we talk with our students about anxiety?
Yeah. So the first thing that we need to deal with is, a lot of times we use a lot of like innuendos and euphemisms to kind of like dumb down some certain things that we're dealing with. It's like, oh, he's not drunk. He's just, you know, intoxicated or a little tipsy. Or we do something along the lines of, oh, he's having an affair, or he's just not being faithful, instead of saying he's committing adultery. There's a lot of times our speech tries to kind of, you know, dumb down the severity of what we're dealing with. And when it comes to anxiety, the thing no one wants to hear, and the truth of the matter is, a lot of times our anxiety is sinful. Not to say that, you know, the people who are dealing with anxiety are just the worst sinners, but anxiety is that kind of thought that everything possible that could go wrong will go wrong. And Tim, in that definition, what is there an extreme lack of?
Would the correct answer be faith or trusting God there?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it would be. Yes. There is no faith, there is no trust that God is in control over all things. And I mean, anxiety is a lot more common than you think. I mean, not in like the clinical way, but in a sense of, there is just so much in our thought life that is unbiblical. And this isn't one of our resources, but I just absolutely adore it. In Jerry Bridges' book, Respectable Sins, the very first sin that Dr. Bridges deals with is the fact that we are naturally ungodly people. It's not that we are prideful. It's not that we have these insatiable lusts of whatever it is. It's the fact that our very first reaction is to be ungodly. I think that applies very greatly here. And so what I want to do for right now is I want to give you three S's to kind of deal with sin. The first thing we need to do is we need to speak. By this, I don't mean you just, you know, take all of your baggage and just dump it on someone, because that's not actually a good thing. The first thing you need to do in speak is you need to tell God what you're dealing with. Tell him about your sin, your struggle, your problems. And then you tell someone you trust that's, you know, preferably more mature than you are. And so whenever either you as a parent are dealing with anxiety, or your kid is, the first thing that we need to do is we need to talk about it. So the first S is speak. The second S is soak. Now, I don't mean go take a nice bath, although sometimes a nice bath does do a lot.
Amen. Baths are nice.
But in this, what I'm talking about is you need to soak in Scripture. And so you need to read the Bible daily and memorize Scripture that pertains to your sin or struggle. Now, Tim, whenever you're preparing a good meat to smoke in your smoker, what kind of process do you take when you're preparing that meat?
Well, you know, you buy it and then take it out of the packaging, and then I think what you're looking for is you marinate it.
What does that mean, to marinate something?
Yeah, so it means to leave it in either a wet set of spices with some sort of liquid, or in a dry set of spices. But you leave it for a certain amount of time and let the flavor have its impact all throughout the meat and tenderize the meat.
So you're not actively, you know, messing with the meat, flipping it around, making sure every little part of it is. It's more of a, you do one thing and then you just let it go.
Yeah. Bad smokers mess with their meat too much. It's called gophering the meat. You don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is the same mentality we need to have as well. You know, a lot of times we don't need so much pep talk. Sometimes the worst thing you can do, through the example of Job's friends in the book of Job, the worst thing you can do is talk. The only talking we need to do is in two points. First, when we talk to someone about this and we talk to God about this. And then second, whenever the person that is walking through this with us, they ask questions and we give them answers. The rest of the time, your opinion, I mean, also I want to throw this in there. Every single person's experience is a valid experience. The worst thing you can do as a parent, or you can do as someone who is walking with someone through, especially anxiety, is say, you know, oh, that's not how the world works, or, oh, that's not true. The problem is not they have a false understanding of the world and how it works. The problem is they're in total crisis mode. And the worst thing you can do is to tell them it's not a big deal. So we need to have a little more compassion in that. And so the speaking really comes through Scripture, which means we are in the Bible daily and we're memorizing Scripture that pertains to our sin and our struggle. So we speak, we tell God and someone we trust about your problem. You soak, you read the Bible daily and memorize Scripture that pertains to your sin or your struggle. And then thirdly, which is a lot of times you don't realize this, but I got this from one of my professors here at Southwestern Seminary, is you serve. Now, a lot of times when you're going through a really deep struggle, the last thing you want to do is get up on your feet. But in the same way that whenever you wake up and you don't want to go to church, you really need to go to church. When you really don't feel like helping someone, that is the moment when you need to really live out Philippians 2:3, to where we need to consider others as more important than ourselves. And so I'm not saying, you know, for your student or for even yourself to go find a teaching position to go serve the church with, because whoever's dealing with any sort of like major sin issue, teaching, not something they need to be involved in. But in the little things that comes up, so whenever we have, you know, Good Friday is coming up very, very soon in the next couple months. And so if your church has a Good Friday service, you know, talk to your pastors like, hey, how can, you know, my son or my daughter serve the church in the Good Friday service? Or, you know, there is a kids event where there's like an open gym or, you know, a sort of hangout thing for kids. Is like, hey, how can my son or my daughter be involved in helping out? Service in the church is not just about teaching. Sometimes, like if you're at my church, service is you get to stack up chairs at the end of the service. Not fun thing, but what you're doing is you're getting involved. You're working through things, both in a, you know, mental and spiritual way through Scripture, but also you're doing what Paul talks about in, I think it's Philippians, where he says to work out your salvation. It's not a, you know, passive thing. It is an active thing that you show, hey, I am taking steps to try to improve myself. This is what I'm doing. And so the three S's is to speak, soak, and to serve. And that goes with anything. But I wanted to use that as kind of this episode as kind of a foundation thing. Because now we're going to get into the soak. We're going to assume either your kid or even yourself has gone and talked to someone about anxiety. And so now we are going to soak. We are going to marinate. And so I have a wall of text. There are so many verses we could go through. The Bible speaks in volumes about, you know, basic kind of sins. And anxiety is something that pops up everywhere. And the first place I want to go to is the book of Proverbs. But before we get to that, Tim, do you have anything to add to the conversation so far?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing that I'll say, kind of dealing with the speak side, and Matt, I know you'll probably touch on this here in just a moment, but for you as a parent, you know, when if your student comes to you with, you know, a concern of anxiety or telling you that they're anxious, one of the greatest things I can tell you is to be a listener first, mm-hmm. You know, to take James 1:19 at its heart and be slow to speak, be slow to anger, and be quick to listen. Mm-hmm. And I'll remind you that that doesn't just mean that you listen first, then speak. In each and every moment, be quick to listen. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes when a student comes to me and tells me about something, they will release a little nugget and they'll see how I deal with the nugget before they actually open up the can of worms. And so not that anxiety is always a nugget towards something else. Sometimes it can be the can of worms itself. But I would encourage you, take that time to listen and let the conversation go. Let them tell you what they need to tell you before you begin to immediately start hitting back with things to say. Because often they'll be testing you unknowingly, but they'll be testing you to see, is mom or dad going to freak out? And if they freak out, then they'll shut down and they'll go back to shutting down. But if you're willing to listen and you're willing to wait, then often they'll go, okay, mom didn't freak out. Dad didn't freak out. Now I can tell them more. Mm-hmm. And often that more is far more important than what they originally told you. I couldn't tell you how many times I had it just a few weeks ago where a student came to me and told me that they had lied to their parents, you know, that they were out late. And they said, yeah, I was just over at my friend's house out late. And I said, okay. And I said, well, here's, you know, as a youth pastor, I said, well, here's the timetable I'm going to give you to tell your parents. Well, by the end of the conversation, that student had let me know that they weren't at their friend's house, that they were with their boyfriend and girlfriend, or boyfriend in that instance, and that they were doing, you know, they were sinning against God and sinning against themselves. All because I was willing to listen. And so it's just, I think it's very key that you're willing to listen before you speak. But Matt, go ahead and give us our wall of scripture.
Yeah. So the first one, So being this my degree, I slowly get a list of verses to use. And so we're not going to go through this entire wall of text, but I want to point out a few important ones that is good for your edification, but also to share with your student if they go through anxiety. So the first one is a very common thing you will hear when someone talks about anxiety, and it is Proverbs chapter 3, and we're going to be focusing in verses 5-8. A lot of times you will hear 5-6, maybe even 7, but a lot of times people don't hit verse 8. So I'm going to read through all of this, and then we're going to break it down a little bit at a time. So Proverbs 3, verses 5-8, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Now again, the book of Proverbs is not a list of promises. Book of Proverbs talks about things that are more common that happen. So in the same way of the verse that says, train the child in the way they should go and they shall not depart from it as they get older. Obviously not a promise, because there are tons of good biblical households that raise kids, and when those kids go out to college or wherever, then they seemingly become the worst sinners ever. And so the book is not about promises, but I do find it peculiar that when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, You don't lean on your own understanding. So you're not thinking about this possibility or this possibility, or I know this will happen if I do this. No, you don't. You don't know. You're taking a guess. You're assuming. And then it gets to verse 6. All your ways know him, and he will make your path straight. So where is the focus in verses 5 and 6? It is on the Lord, and it is not yourself. So the first thing I tell students dealing with this is there are times where you just got to get out of your head. Sometimes you got to stand up, leave whatever situation you're in. Maybe even you have to do what Joseph did with Potiphar's wife, and you just have to run if you're ever feeling in this terrible mindset. And so when you trust in the Lord and you stop listening to your own thoughts that just drag you farther and farther down, then what happens? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You are going to see a clear path of this is what I need to do. And it's not just a, you know, I can see the entire path right here. It is one step at a time. You see where you need to go next. And then verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Again, take the focus off of yourself. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Yes, your anxious thoughts that are going against God, that are focusing on yourself and taking the focus also off of God, that is evil. Interesting how the Bible phrases it that way. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then what is the outcome? Verse 8. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. I can't believe people miss that. It gets me that whenever you give whatever anxious thoughts you have and you say, Lord, this is yours. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do what I need to do, but you take care of what I can't. Whenever you make those decisions, Tim, how do you normally feel after you just give it to the Lord?
Yeah, I mean, there's a great relief because I've actually given it to someone who can take care of it. As he normally does, by the way.
Yeah. And it's interesting because later in the book of Proverbs, whenever we get to chapter 17, in Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up bones. Notice the talk of bones again. Your mind, and this is proven by medical science, your mind can lead your body into disrepair. So what do we need to do? We need to give it to God. So the first thing you need to walk through your child with, or, you know, see for yourself where you're going, you have to give it to the Lord. Whatever anxious thoughts you have to give it to the Lord. Because Proverbs 16:33, this is becoming one of my favorite verses because it's so, so good. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And so when you cast a lot, you pretty much roll something like dice to figure out the next move. And no matter what you do, every decision is from the Lord. That's incredible. I absolutely love this. Because no matter how many mistakes you make, guess what? Romans 8:28 is always going to happen. If you fear the Lord and you love the Lord and you are, you know, a part of the kingdom of God, everything, every bad thing, every good thing is going to work out for good. Why? Because every decision is from the Lord. So whenever you're dealing with anxiety and you're dealing with anxious thoughts and your student is just, their entire being seems like it's just being ripped up inside them, when you give it to the Lord, he's going to make stuff happen. And We only have 30 minutes in this podcast, but I could go on about so many things. But I do want to end the last little verse here. I think it's just, it's incredible, and people often overlook it. But I want to look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, starting at verse 4, says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Even when you don't feel like it, rejoice in the Lord always. Not when you feel good, not when you really feel like praising the Lord, not when you, you know, are just having a great day. You praise the Lord in the difficult situations, when your anxious thoughts are clouding your judgment, when anxiety feels like is the only thing that you can see, rejoice in the Lord always." And I want to look at flip over to verse 6. "Don't worry about anything." Well, there it is. No, it continues. "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, every anxious thought, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving." Now, I want to suggest, this was brought up in one of my classes by Dr. John Okanaga. You need to be thanking God for moments like these. Because when you live a life of thanksgiving, you're going to appreciate the good even more. When God brings you through these things, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to blow your mind how awesome God is when you start thanking Him. "Lord, thank you for this difficult time that you've put me in, that you are testing my faith," according to James chapter 1, "and I pray that I would glorify you. Now, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I give it in your hands." Boom. That is praying with thanksgiving. You present your request to God. And then verse 7, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." No matter what's going on, no matter what the evil one is throwing at you, no matter what anxious thoughts are bubbling up inside of you, when you give the Lord everything in thanksgiving, the peace of God that you will never be able to understand, you will begin to feel so relieved and comforted in the hardest of times. That will guard your hearts and your minds, because its foundation, its core, its everything is in Christ Jesus. So He is the beginning and the end of your struggle. And I think that's pretty cool. But Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. You know, just quickly, a couple thoughts from me, some solid tips, whatever. You know, one passage that Matt didn't go to, and I'm very glad he didn't, was Matthew 6, 25 through 34. This is a common one that I hear parents immediately respond with. Is like, well, hey, the Bible says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow and don't be anxious in anything because God has it taken care of. And please don't hear me wrong. That is the word of God. There is actually no reason to worry about tomorrow. There is no reason to be anxious in anything because God actually does have it all taken care of. And much like the birds of the air don't have any means of getting food, they all seem to be fed. But you know, when we talk about speaking and really soaking not only the individual going through it, soaking themselves in scripture, but also you as a parent soaking yourself in scripture, you know, I think it's important to remember that what we say has to be said in an attitude of love. And I think often what happens is that we use verses that, you know, we see on the Google search for verses on anxiety, as almost weapons against the person, when in reality, remember, we're trying to lead them back to training in righteousness. You know, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, reproof, rebuke, and training in righteousness. That being said, that doesn't mean that you have to use a certain one at a certain time for a certain reason. And rather than being more militant in a response, my encouragement would be, you know, that's a fantastic verse to begin to show someone as they're dealing with their anxiety, as they've began to deal with it and began to realize, wow, hey, I don't think I have to worry about this anymore. then you say, yeah, you're right. Actually, the Bible says you don't have to worry about anything because God's got everything taken care of. Yeah. That would be just, one thing that I've seen it time and time again. Part of this, I don't think, is the fault of many parents. You know, I think people that are older than Matt and I, and Matt and I would agree with this mindset, but people that are older than us are often just like, hey, the Bible says it. That's all we need. And that is true. But if we want to train up our kids in the way that they are going to go because of what social media has just indoctrinated them to at such a young age, we're going to have to walk alongside them. Which, by the way, is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He's a paraclete. He goes alongside of us. But we as parents have to walk alongside rather than maybe slap in the face with where Scripture just directly rejects what they think. Because, Scripture rejects anxiety as a sin. It just says, hey, this is sinful. But often what I've noticed is in order for us to teach that it is sinful, we've got to show them how God completely deals with it and then say, oh yeah, you want to know why God completely deals with it? It's because it's sinful and you don't need to worry about it. So that would just be my one other thing, but Matt, I think you have a couple resources for us.
Yeah. And before I get into that, just one few last thoughts. You bring up Matthew 6, and I think the focal point of Matthew 6 is found in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. It's not just don't worry. It's again, you are seeking God through his word, but then you are also, serving God through, service that you do in your church. It's through seeking the kingdom of God, seeking the good things of God. And that is what you build your foundation upon, again, because you take the focus off of you and onto someone else. And then the last thought is something that I've come across and I really want to push is this was also something brought to me by my professor, Dr. Okanaga, is we need to change our language in how we talk about anxiety. And don't call it an anxiety attack, because an attack denotes that there is a winner and a loser. And a lot of times, if you're dealing with anxiety, you feel like a big fat loser. But instead, talk about how it's an anxiety episode. Because like an episode of a TV show, it has a runtime. There's a point where the show begins, but there is a point where the show ends. And it's a lot nicer to say I'm having an anxiety episode, because then you also have that end in mind of this is not going to last forever. The thoughts will eventually stop. And so when we change our language in a positive way, not the negative way of, how we address sin, but when we change how we think of like, hey, this is actually going to stop. So I am going to get through this and I'm going to be okay. That actually helps a ton. That's all I'm going to say. Again, we could make this episode 2 hours if I continue to talk. So I'm going to talk just a little shorter and get this to you. So I have two resources right here. And this is there are two books written by the same author, and they come in a bundle, or you can buy them separately. And it's by author David Murray. It's called Why Am I Feeling Like This? A Teen's Guide to Freedom from Anxiety and Depression. And then also, Why Is My Teenager Feeling Like This? A Guide for Helping Teens Through Anxiety and Depression. And so the purpose of these books are to be read at the exact same time. The parent book is going to talk about briefly what the teenage book, what each chapter is talking about, and then it's going to give you some helpful hints to help them walk through with what they've read. But the teen book is all about this is different scenarios and different ways anxiety pops up in different people's lives and how you can deal with it, but is all grounded in Scripture. Now, there's going to be a few practical tips to help out, which we don't have time to get into this time around. But one of those practical things is I'll be honest, I haven't finished the books yet. But from what I've read, they are absolutely so good to kind of springboard the conversation. But when you start looking at it in a different light, knowing that there's an end, these books are going to help that you walk through them with your kid or with someone you're mentoring, or even you walk through it yourself. I think they're great. And so that's Why Am I Feeling Like This? And Why Is My Teenager Feeling Like This? By David Murray.
Awesome. Well, I don't have any other parting thoughts. Matt, do you have any other parting thoughts before we go?
If I had any more parting thoughts, we'd go for another 10 minutes. So I'm just going to say, ground yourself in scripture, and that's the best possible thing you can do for yourself and for your kid.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining us for another episode of Tuning the Bow, and we'll be back next week to take on another topic that your student's dealing with. Have a great week, y'all.
Bye, everybody.